Do we want to get rocked?
If you are a Def Leppard fan, you're going to get rocked in 2018. First of all, the band that has sold over 100 million records worldwide is making their wildly popular and groundbreaking catalog available for streaming and for downloading for the very first time. What's hooked so long is the question I've got. Here's guitarist Phil Collin.
We were waiting for the right deal. The time wasn't right for us and the offers weren't right for us, and we didn't want to just like throw all this hard work that we put out. So we was waiting for the right deal, and the right deal came along finally. So we're good to go. I've always loved streaming. I thought it was a great medium. I thought it was like magic. You know, you can just turn your phone on, you listen to it whenever you want and wherever you want, mostly, you know, if you've got a good signal. I listen to music via streaming all the time, godsend to me. You know, I work out, I have my phone on, I plug it into stuff and speakers and whatever. It's great. I absolutely think new audiences will get turned on by it. When we done Hysteria, Mutt Lange said, you know, CD's going to overtake cassettes and vinyl. It absolutely did. But we ended up, the Hysteria album, you know, sold on vinyl, cassette and CD, mainly CD. So it's really exciting for us to go digital, because there's a whole brand new audience out there that really hasn't had access to us, and they'll finally get it.
Not only will an entire new audience get turned on to the band that's created rock anthems for the ages and has thrilled concert goers with sold-out incendiary performances for almost four decades, Def Leppard has also announced that they're going to be touring this year with, another rock icon, Journey. Once again, here's Phil Collin.
Tour this summer, I'm stoked. It's the start of a very, very long tour. We've been getting offers in for 2019, all over different parts of the world. When anyone says, why don't you come to this place? It's because usually we haven't got enough time. So we're trying to, you know, tick all the boxes. So, summer will be great in the US. And then wherever we go from there, I think we're going out from May to October. So we're really excited about that.
Now, I'm excited. For the next hour, the band is going to take us through their monumental songs that are now available to stream and download. And this show is going to feature three decades of different interviews, including most recently earlier this month. What's going on, guys? I'm Ricky Aaron. This is Def Leppard, All Access.
Hi, this is Joe Elliott.
Hey, I'm Phil Collin from Def Leppard. Welcome to Def Leppard streaming and on tour.
All Access.
Easy come and easy go. Oh.
Def Leppard's second album, High and Dry, in 1981, that was Bringing On the Heartbreak, which you can now stream or download from your favorite site to get music. Now, Def Leppard's roots go back to Sheffield, England. Here's bassist Rick Savage from 1987.
It's very working class. It was the steel capital of Europe a few years ago. It's where they make all the steel. I mean, they still do to a certain extent, but it's like anything else. It seems to be dying off. I believe the twin city to Sheffield is Pittsburgh, so it's just like, if anybody knows Pittsburgh, it's very much like Sheffield.
So after it was agreed that Joe Elliott would be the singer of this inexperienced band, they needed a name. Well, here's Joe on how he came up with it.
The name came 3 years before the band did. I used to go to a lot of concerts at night, and I used to come in the English lessons, I used to write reviews for them instead of doing the essay on Three Little Pigs or, you know, on The Big Bad Wolf and whatever. Same with the art class, I used to do posters, just things like that, but do it myself. And after 2 or 3 weeks of doing Thin Lizzy and Montrose and Sweet and T-Rex, I started making names up. And Def Leppard just happened to be one of them, but at the time spelt normally. What happened was when I left school, I took them all home with me because the posters were pretty good. And I put them up on my wall. When we got together and we didn't have a name, we're all sat listening to records in my bedroom or whatever. I suggested to Rick Savage, the bass player, I said, like, well, I've got these posters up, you know, and these aren't like real bands. What about one of these? And he saw like the Def Leppard and he said, what about Def Leppard? And the rest of the band went, ugh, that's awful. But he said, no, but I mean, think about it, it's really weird. Me and Sav loved it, the other three hated it, but at least he got a reaction. And like, eventually they said, yeah, all right, you know, it's okay. And after 6 or 7 weeks, we changed the spelling. We just changed the spelling just to make it look different.
Well, they had a band name now. Def Leppard needed to just get good, so they found a rehearsal space in Sheffield. Here's Rick Savage and drummer Rick Allen.
It was basically just an old, dreary old room in the middle of a complex of factories and things like that. It was really dirty, but it was cheap, and it was a room. I mean, it always gets to the stage where you can no longer rehearse in somebody's lounge or somebody like that. You just can't do it. So the next step up is to try and find a room.
It was a horrible little place.
It was, but I mean, it was great for what it was at the time. We thought it was wonderful.
When we were rehearsing, it was fine because all the gear was up there. But there was this nasty, horrible little staircase that you had to take all the gear up. We used to cart all the gear around ourselves, you know. It got a bit much sometimes.
So when we were actually doing concerts, like, not concerts, working men's clubs, small bars and what have you, after the concert, we'd have to take all the gear back, and it was murder getting them back up the steps again.
After carrying all that gear up the stairs, I used to go to school and literally fall asleep in lessons. Alan.
I'm gonna
song whose title the band came up with when they found a piece of paper in a borrowed amplifier cabinet. Rock of Ages, off their third album released in 1983, Pyromania. Now, the sixth Leopard is Robert Mutt Lange, who produced their second album, High and Dry, then Pyromania, and the next two Def Leppard albums as well. Joe Elliott tells us how Mutt improved bringing on the heartbreak from High and Dry, and then how the relationship grew.
I say it's like it was 70% there before Mutt heard it, but he brought out the, you know, he suggested the other 30%, which we wouldn't have probably done had he not done it. So on that song, it was more like an arrangement thing and a suggestion, whereas on things like on Pyromania and Hysteria, he literally did sit in the room with us and we tossed ideas around together. He became a writing member of the band, which we don't mind, and we actually think is neat because he's in from the beginning of a song right through to the end, and I think that's good. It definitely works for us.
It sure as hell did work for them. Pyromania has sold over 10 million copies, and we're still counting. The single Photograph became a huge hit. Well, here's Phil Collin from 2005 to tell you one of the reasons why.
A lot of rock bands, even to this day, when they do backing vocals, they sound really sweet and lovely, and it sounds like it was very well sung, but it was nice. And we come in with a raw, rough edge. It was screaming in tune. It was more based on the punk ethos, you know, or AC/DC, scream, but do it right. So it was a combination of both. And if you could make that tuneful, and Mutt wanted us to do that. He said, listen, let's make it manly. So that was the thing, and I think with Photograph, it kind of reminded me of More Than a Feeling by Boston, but it had this edge that didn't have. And don't get me wrong, I love that song, you know. More Than a Feeling was such a huge influence, and the way that Boston sounded, but it was rock. That sounds kind of a bit mellow and sweet, and it's fantastic. Production, playing, singing, killer, but sweet. It was nice. This was nasty, you know, this had a bit of nasty in there. I think that was the essence of that particular thing that made it different, and that's why I think that song on the radio scored such a big hit, because, again, you hadn't seen that before.
I'm
That is Photograph from the immensely successful Pyromania album by Def Leppard, which you can stream or download for the first time at your favorite sites.
He came along for pre-production and then kind of dropped the bombshell that he couldn't do the album.
That's next when our Def Leppard streaming and on tour All Access celebration continues in a few minutes. Welcome back to Def Leppard streaming and on tour All Access with me, Ricky Aaron. Now, when you think of Def Leppard, you think of an immensely successful band with huge album sales. But that wasn't always the case. Here's Joe Elliott.
Just on the release time of Pyromania, we were almost a million down through touring and album costs and the fact that they weren't selling. And then when Pyromania came out, it kind of, with the amount of copies that it sold, it cleared the debt and then some, you know. But, I mean, had Pyromania not done what it did, we'd have been in a right jolly old mess, you know.
Well, so because of the breakthrough of the Pyromania album, Def Leppard had gotten out of debt and had found their sound. They next moved to Ireland for tax purposes and started work on writing for their next album in February of 1984. So what could go wrong? Well, their producer, mentor, and co-writer Mutt Lange threw a damper on things.
He came along for pre-production and then kind of dropped the bombshell that he couldn't do the album, but he would help us come up with an idea of a producer. And we ummed and ahed about all sorts of people, but they either wanted $500,000 or you rights to your firstborn child or something, you know. Steinman was the best out of a bad bunch. When I say a bad bunch, in other words, if it couldn't be Mutt, it had to be somebody that was second choice, you know. Steinman wasn't greedy at the time. He seemed to fit the bill as a producer because he was musical, and we didn't want an engineer-type producer. But turned out to be a disastrous choice, really. It didn't work out at all. It was a total mismatch. He wanted to record us one way, and we wanted to do it another way. And I don't think he was capable of really accepting the challenge of working the way we'd like to.
On New Year's Eve, December 31st, 1984, a horrible tragedy happened to Def Leppard. Rick Allen's car swerved off the road and went through a dry stone wall right outside of Sheffield. Now, Rick survived, but lost his left arm. In the hospital, Rick made the determined decision that he would find a way to drum again, and that's exactly what he did. He worked with the company Simmons and designed a special drum kit with pads that he could play with his feet, and through arduous practice and dedication for months, from early in the morning until late at night, Rick Allen returned to play the drums for the band. And it was a very emotional time when he assembled the group to demonstrate that he could be playing the intro to Led Zeppelin's When the Levee Breaks. And it was around this time that Mutt Lange returned to work on the band's record. When Def Leppard was almost finished with the album, they did some warm-up shows in Ireland. As a precaution, they decided to take another drummer along with Rick Allen, and Rick Savage.
This guy, Jeff Rich, he was supposed to be catching a flight back, and he ended up missing his flight for some reason or another. So he ended up catching a taxi cab from Dublin all the way down to Ballybunion, which is quite a fair old drive. So we got on stage, and I normally used to play the first two songs, but this particular night I ended up getting halfway through the show, and then he came bursting in the door and sort of jumped back on his drums again. Anyway, the next night we're playing in this really horrible little pub down in County Wicklow, I think.
I think it was Waterford.
Waterford, that's it, where the crystal comes from, that's right. And we literally couldn't get two drum kits on the stage, you know, short of putting one on top of the other, you know. So the rest of the guys sort of said, well, let's have a bash, you know, let's see what we can do. So I went on, kept it really simple, you know, just played my parts, did what I had to do. And Jeff came up to me afterwards, he says, well, I guess I'm going home tomorrow. So that was it. It was great, a brilliant progression.
The Hysteria album was finally released in August of 1987, and one of the first singles from the album, Animal, was the band's first top 10 single in their native UK. Here's Phil Collin.
It was actually a big deal because, you know, we obviously were from there, and we were totally ignored, but I can understand why. The music we do is really based on American music. You know, we sing with an American accent. You know, Mick Jagger sings with an American accent because he learnt from blues singers. You know, it's like, that's what you do. And it was an American art form. So we loved that, you know. It's even the Beatles, everything was based on American music. So I can totally get that, why in England they weren't really getting it because it sounded like a very much like an American band. They thought we'd sold out.
The song that led Def Leppard's run of 10 consecutive Billboard Top 40 hits, Animal from Hysteria. The album was a stone cold smash. Joe Elliott talks about how his singing changed for the record.
On Hysteria, I've been singing a lot lower. My voice has naturally dropped. I mean, I've got a very deep talking voice, which a lot of people are amazed at how high I can sing considering how I talk. And I've been doing a lot of singing, which is more this kind of register. Things like Pour Some Sugar On Me off Hysteria, or even the track Hysteria, the verses, they're pretty much in down key. And what that's done, that's enabled me to rest my high end, which through rest is improved. And then I can sing in the higher register when I do stage frights or run riots or whatever, a lot better, because I'm not doing every song up there. So my voice is dropped in one sense, but I can actually sing higher now because I'm not hammering it to death all the time. Consequently, my vocal range has improved by actually just going down in register, which is amazing, really. But I think that just comes through age and experience and maturity, I suppose.
Sick.
That's the title piece of an album you can now download and stream for the first time, Hysteria.
And I said, I suck. Finger style plan, useless.
We'll clear up exactly what that means when more Def Leppard streaming and on tour, All Access, returns to your ears in a few minutes. Welcome back, my friends, to our festive gathering, celebrating the digital release of the Def Leppard catalog and the upcoming summer tour with Journey. My name is Ricky Air, and this is Def Leppard streaming and on tour, All Access. Now, the fourth single from Hysteria was the one that kind of ignited the rockers and sent the album sales into the stratosphere. Pour Some Sugar on Me. Here's Phil Collin.
I wrote the riff. Mutt wrote the intro, the da 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 da, and he played it finger style. And I said, I suck, finger style playing, useless. He said, well, just how would you do it? So I'd done it like the, you know, with a pick. And he's like, there you go. Joe was sitting in a corridor. We'd finished all the songs and we were just finishing the album up. And Joe's going, pour some sugar on me. And Mark goes, what's that? He said, oh, I don't know. Within 10 days, we'd finished this song. And the record company went crazy because we'd spent all this time. And Mark said, you know what? I think this is actually going to be the most important song on the record. So we really need to record this. And we'd got the hang of it then. It was the quickest song on the record. It flew. And it had all the stuff, you know, it was sexy. It just had all the right ingredients and elements, I think. I do know that Mutt said, let's make it kind of rap, because, you know, Run DMC and other bands were kind of exploding, and the meter was a rap meter. So that's really where that come from, which, again, is interesting, because, again, rock bands don't usually do that. They don't take something like that that's supposed to be the opposing genre. God forbid you cross them. And that's what we were all really about. That album in particular, it was like, you know, taking different genres and just like mixing them all up.
Step inside, walk this way, you and me, babe. Can I be your man? Hey, 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 hey. Razzle, little, dazzle, little.
Pour Some Sugar on Me from Hysteria. And you can have both of them now for the first time on your streaming service or for download. Hysteria has the rare distinction of charting 7 singles on the US Hot 100 charts. Women, Animal, Hysteria, Pour Some Sugar on Me, Love Bites, Armageddon It, and Rocket. It has sold over 25 million copies around the world. So naturally, following the release of that album, Def Leppard performed having the stage in the middle of the arenas, and they sold them out for 16 months. The band was determined not to let another 3 years go by before the next record. So shortly after the tour, they reconvened to record. Unfortunately, guitarist Steve Clark's alcoholism worsened, and they granted him a 6-month leave of absence from the band in mid-1990. And it was on January 8, 1991, he was found dead in his London home due to a mixture of prescription drugs and alcohol. Here's Joe Elliott.
We've had 2 incidents that were of a very tragic nature, notably Rick losing his arm and Steve dying. Without trying to belittle those 2 episodes, that is all that's really happened tragic. I mean, other things have happened. You know, Mutt had a car crash when we were doing Hysteria. I got mumps when I was 27. But, you know, these things happen to people all the time. We say all the time, you know, you take 5 people off the street and put them in a room and say, what has happened to you over the last 20 years? And I almost guarantee you that they would have had more incidents of a negative nature happen than what's happened to us, you know. Those things were incredibly tragic and hard to get over. And the death of Steve is something that we're aware of every day of our lives. But there's been so many up things as well that we kind of feel a little like we got snuck through the back door on that one, because we are very happy people, and most of the time we've always been that way. It puts things into perspective as well. You know, it's, when you see Rick sweating his ass off for 2 hours a night, for an entire year on tour with just like 3 limbs, you can imagine the aches and pains that he goes through just to achieve what he does. You know, you don't really walk around, especially in front of him, going, oh, I've got a bit of a sniffle today, or oh, I broke my nail.
The band decided to carry on in the studio as a 4-piece, and finally releasing Adrenalize in March of 1992. The album entered the UK and US charts at number 1. Now, a month before, in February, after auditions for a guitar player, Def Leppard chose Vivian Campbell, who fit in perfectly. And the band started another world tour that went from January through September of 1993. Now, upon returning, the group noticed a sea change in the music world. Once again, here's Joe Elliott.
It was 1994 by the time we got back together, I mean, finished the Adrenalize tour. We had a lot of stuff to deal with like Steve passing away, and that delayed the record. By the time it came out in 92, we did well, it did great. You know, we were running parallel lines with this whole new music that was just starting to emerge from Seattle. We said goodbye at the end of the tour, all went home to enjoy the break and soak up what we'd just achieved, you know. But then we realized there was a change in the guard, and Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Alice in Chains, Soundgarden, etc., etc., were really kicking the likes of the 80s bands to one side. And we wanted to make sure that we didn't get lumped in with everybody else and get kicked to one side either. So we were going to fight this tooth and nail. So without jumping on the bandwagon, we realized that whatever album we were about to make had to kind of go with the, you know, fit into the workplace that was current. You know, somebody had moved the goalposts from what we were used to, and we had to either play on the old pitch with no goalposts or go where the goalposts had gone. And that's a tough one for a band like us, because a lot of people think, oh, well, you know, what are you going to do now? You're just going to wear a check shirt, shorts, and start singing about heroin. And it wasn't quite that bad, but we obviously had to take all that into consideration.
I'm
That's the title piece of Def Leppard's 1996 album, Slang. In 1999, the band returned to their classic sound with Euphoria. They went in a more pop direction with 2002's X, did an album of cover versions of the songs that inspired them to become a band in 2006 called Yeah. Songs from the Sparkle Lounge dropped in 2008, followed by a double live album with three new studio songs in 2011 called Mirror Ball, Live and More. Now, Def Leppard always toured to ravenous fans around the world, but another sobering moment came just before the band's residency in Las Vegas, when Vivian Campbell announced that he had Hodgkin's lymphoma. In the tradition of the band, Vivian pursued treatment and he continued to play live and record with Def Leppard. In 2015, saw the release of the self-titled Def Leppard album, which debuted at number one on Billboard's Top Rock Albums and Top Independent Album charts. Not only that, it took the number five spot on Billboard's Top Current Albums, as well as claiming 15 top 10 debuts around the world. Which brings us to the present. First off, let's get Phil Collin to give us an update on Vivian's health as of this month.
Viv's doing fantastic. He's healthy and happy. And it was a bit of a scare, obviously. You know, he has to take care of himself, which is exactly what he's doing. So he's really good. And probably when this comes out, he'll be joining me on stage because we'll be playing LA on the G3 tour. And he's going to be joining us there. So that's going to be great.
That is fantastic indeed. And now some fans have stopped recording new music because of the changes in the music industry. What about Def Leppard?
Not us. I mean, it's one of the most important things. It would really suck if you were in a band and you didn't try and write songs. That's the whole point of being in a band, I thought. And not just playing live or be a novelty act. You know, you want to get out there and create. Creating stuff is the most exciting part of the whole thing. So we'll constantly be doing that, you know, new blood and just getting ideas. And we're always trying to write the perfect song.
And finally, will Def Leppard and Journey join each other on stage at any point during the upcoming tour?
We've played with Journey before, I've jammed with them before, I've been on stage with them. They're an amazing band, I'm a huge fan, and it's going to be awesome. One of the great things, we were actually sitting in a dressing room in Saratoga Springs in New York with Journey, this was like 2006, and Jonathan Cain said, I wrote Faithfully on that piano, there was a piano that happened to be there. And most of the guys out of Def Leppard, most of the guys out of Journey, we all just sat around this piano and we all started singing together. And I wish someone would have recorded it because it was amazing. So I don't see why not.
All of the band's albums are now available digitally for download and streaming from your favorite sites. Def Leppard will co-headline with Journey starting May 21st in Hartford, Connecticut, and wrap up in Los Angeles on October 6th. More dates may be added at a later date. Def Leppard streaming and on tour All Access was produced in New York and New Jersey by Near Perfect Productions for Universal Music Enterprises. All rights reserved. No portion may be reproduced without the written permission of the producers. Special thanks to Mike Kobayashi of CSM Management, Jeffrey Diffner, Jody Best of Best Bet Promotions, and Jamie Hartley of Universal Music Enterprises. I'm Ricky Aaron, and if you missed any of the show or want to hear it again, it is available at birminghamseagle.com.
Right, this voice is Rick Savage, and this voice is Rick Allen.
Hi, this is Vivian Campbell.
I'm Joe Elliott.
And I'm Phil Collin. Thanks for listening.